Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee, a meeting today on Monday, March 3rd, 2025. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips. For people who are joining through phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise and lower your virtual hands. If people are able to use these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. I do request everyone to please stay on mute unless you're speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise. So in advance, thank you. As you know that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us. So please state your name before you start making your comments because it helps them doing their job well. It also helps everyone who is on the phone call and when people listen to the meeting audio, it helps them knowing who the speakers were at the time. We also request speakers to briefly describe themselves when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, and I have long dark hair. We do have a wonderful guest speaker today. I would just request for you to describe any slides or presentation that you might use in detail for the members who are blind or have low vision. That goes for the ABC members as well as the members of the public. So in advance, thank you. Chair Sheehan, I will just remind quickly any members of the public, if you have any comments during our public comments section, please try to let me know in advance. If you are able to send me a chat message, I would appreciate that. If not, when we begin that section, if you're able to use your virtual hands tools, that will help because then we can take the speakers in the order they raise their hand and we can have one speaker at a time. At this point, Chair Sheehan, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and then go to a roll call if you concur. I would take that as a yes. Thank you. Okay, so before I start reading the agenda, I will share my screen. So if you would give me a quick moment while I share my screen to have the agenda on, and afterwards, if somebody can confirm, I will appreciate that. Please let me know if this, okay.
It's up, I can read it.
Great, thank you. So as soon as I finish reading the agenda, we will go through AACU's roll call. Afterwards, Chair Sheehan will go through the review of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes, not the board report, because that we, and the board report. We do have Jordan Holt, and I believe Luis Ortiz Sanchez is accompanying her for Metro Performance, so welcome. Afterwards, Chair Sheehan will give us an update about DMV moves. The next topic is a committee discussion about Waymap update because we did have a launch some recently. So the committee will have that discussion. Afterwards, we will go to public comments and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30. But before we go there, we will have the bus and rail subcommittee report followed by the metro access subcommittee report. I will stop sharing my screen and going to the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Darnese Bush.
Present. Afro-American
alert.
Female.
Anu has stopped. Alert. You are viewing Anu. Alert. Viewing meeting.
Okay, thank you, Darnis. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Third. Audio now unmuted.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. And I just want to state for the record that Thomas had informed he may not be able to join some of the meetings. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Sarah Roth.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Again, I just want to state for the record that Doris has informed that she may not be able to join some of the meetings. Denise Rush. Again, for the record, Ms. Rush will not be able to join some of the meetings she has informed us. Paul Semelfort.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simona. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the AAC roster for today's meeting. At this point, Chair Sheehan, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you, Anu. I'd first like to start off the meeting before going through the minutes and the agenda and approval or report. I received some very, very sad and unexpected news today that I wanted to share with the committee. I heard today that our good friend, former WMATA employee, our ombudsman's for many, many years, David Schaefer, passed away.
Oh, wow.
I don't have any information on the cause. I will just say that, you know, I worked with David in lots of capacities at WMATA, with WMATA. He was on the WayMap project. He was at the reception that we had 2 weeks ago. I wanted to go over and see him. He was just across the room, but I couldn't find him, and just congratulate him on the project. We're going to work on a lot of things in advocacy and for people with disabilities in the Maryland area and DC and Virginia. And I was doing outreach there when he left WMATA. And so it was just so unexpected. And I'd like to have a moment of silence for David Schaefer, if I could. Thank you.
I'll second that.
Thank you, everybody. Phil, did you want to say something regarding David? You worked with him pretty close, too.
There's so much that David did. What a lot of people don't know, in addition to being an ombudsman, David was a member of the Supreme Court Bar. And he was an incredible advocate outside of WMATA. The cases that he took for disability and won all the way to the Supreme Court were amazing. And he was humble. He just did it, which is the way great people really work.
I
really miss him. And we will miss everything he has done for the disability community. He was a good person.
Agreed.
It's the best thing I can say about anybody.
Thank you, Phil. Some of the old timers here were with David. Any other remembrances? I know that I think he graduated from Standard Law University.
Stanford.
I think Stanford. Yeah, he was either at the top of his class, real close to it. But he was, as you said, he was very humble. You never would have known him. He was always fighting for the other guy. You know,
This is Paul. I'd like to say a few.
Go ahead, Paul. Sure.
I knew David here, where we, we worked on appeals cases for Metro Access. We worked on. He did a lot of projects, in terms of, as related for disability access for Metro Access, in terms of IT related stuff, like a web online booking. He did a lot of work with that, and it's, maintenance and creation, and its accessibility and the accessibility of things on, WMATA's website, in general.
He yes, he was very good on the IT side. That's true. Well, I'd forgotten that. Yeah, I wish I had. I wish it's. Wish I had seen them 2 weeks ago.
It's a great loss for all of us.
Yeah.
And,
Very good. Thank you.
yeah.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate that. Okay.
I remember
Let's
when
see.
he departed. I just want to share this. When he left Metro, and because he was our main point of contact for customer concerns, he said to me,
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
And new.
I knew.
I'm sorry, please continue.
Oh, and new. Was he the guy, the gentleman I sat next to at that Waymap meeting? Was that David?
Think
David.
no, so you were actually sitting next to Patrick.
Yeah, we were sitting right beside each other. Yeah. David
Oh,
was across the room, I think, somewhere.
I see.
And
Okay. All
David,
right.
yeah, and David, David actually, drove that Waymap project through. He was very, quite the advocate, very humble, and he accomplished a lot. And I'm gonna miss David too. I owed him a phone call that I'll never be able to return now. All right.
You know, this is
Go ahead, Tino.
he was our ombudsman for the first few years that I had become a member, and he was always competent and could explain whatever was at issue. So humbled was he that what you and Phil had just mentioned, described his activities, his education, his work experience with the Supreme Court, I never knew.
No, I had forgotten that too. Yeah, he never stressed that stuff.
No.
He kind of found out about it if somebody else, or it just gets dropped in the conversation a little bit, but he never highlighted it. Yeah, he was a remarkable man, and I know that even when we, as the ombudsman, would get furious with him, because we weren't getting the results fast enough or exactly what we wanted when we wanted it or whatever, as that happens with AAC sometimes. And he never got flustered. He was back the next month, delivering as best he could with the system that he had back then, the resources and all of that. So, yeah, quite a government servant, and helping us all and working with the disability community and producing. And he would come to, I know, chapter meetings of blind people, and he would ask questions and learn. And he was just a member of the group that just who had low vision and wanted to improve everything for people as best he could.
Matt, I don't know if we can locate his daughter, who is very close with, and I had met her a couple of times at the Library of Congress, but it would be very nice if we could let her know how much he did for all of us and how important a person he was.
Well, there might be a couple of ways to do that, and I just jumped into my head, but we also do have a Hettinger Award coming up for 20 for this next year. That
Pat,
might be a nice time to think about that. Yes.
this is Kelly Simoneau.
Hey, Kelly.
I practiced law for several years with David, and his son Jed called me on Friday to let me know of the tragedy. But if there's anything we want to loop in, his son's still local and was you know was is just a great guy. His daughter's amazing as well, but we can certainly get family. I'll certainly pass on to Jed that tonight's meeting included a discussion around the impact that David had.
Right. Yeah.
Kelly,
And
thank you.
thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, no
We
problem.
appreciate that. We a lot of us worked with him as when he was ombudsman with WMATA, and that's how we got to know him. And remarkable man. Yeah, anything that and you know, talking off the top of my head, just thinking about Hettinger and then David, I just can't think of right now anybody off the top of my head who would be more deserving of that award, even though you know, we can't give it to him when he was alive. But it might mean something to his family. Something to keep in mind for next for the upcoming fall and winter time period.
And the things that he did will live after him. Way for
Absolutely.
him will be a great memory for him.
Yes.
Remember what he's accomplished.
Yeah, agree. All
And
right, folks. Thank
Chesh
you.
and Felipe,
Yeah.
sorry,
Oh,
Andreas.
I was just going to say,
Philippa, yes.
yes, I'm sorry. Felipe, very sorry to hear this sad news. And I just want, and, you know, my memory of David is just always this very calm, low key, laid back person who did his job and didn't seem to want a lot of fanfare about it. And, you know, I'm very sorry for his family. I'm sorry for those of us, especially those of you who are very close to him. You know, you get my condolences as well. So, you know, God bless him, and, you know, we'll just have to carry on in his memory.
That's a good way to
Thank
put it.
you.
Absolutely. Kelly, we appreciate if you can transmit some of what you heard tonight back to his family. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I will, and we can definitely stay in touch as the year goes on about what other ways to bring
Sure.
his name. So thanks,
Right.
Pat.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Okay. Let's see. So we're going to go with approval of minutes. I have minutes for last month's sent out to everybody. Do I hear any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, are there any objections to the minutes being approved?
So moved. I say we could.
Thank you, Paul. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Thank you. Hearing no objections. The minutes are approved as written. Thank you. Secondly, we'll go with the agenda. Are there any additions or additions, I'm sorry, to this agenda?
I say we, this is Paul. We move the agenda as is.
Thank you, Paul.
Second.
Thank you for the second. Any objections? Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved as submitted. And lastly, we'll go with the board report. Do I hear can I get a sec second for the board report for its
Second.
approval? Thank you, Paul. Paul, you usually have something to add about the board report.
The only thing we're going to add to it is since we saw the next generation vans, we probably want to add a little piece to that and summary of what we saw and the progress that's being made for those vans to come out and being really accessible for everybody. When we did went out to see that demonstration and thank Metro Accessment, you know, call center staff for putting those efforts forward and including us in, those conversations and demonstrations, that we're producing a van that is very comfortable ride for everybody, with disabilities and
So
everyone possible.
you're saying basically any additions that we've had over the next over this month we can add to the report?
That is
Or,
correct.
right, good. Oh, thank you, Paul. Good. Plus we also want to thank Anu for the beautiful day we had. Gorgeous weather that day. So do I have a second to that?
I second
Thank you very much. Any objections? Hearing no objections, we'll approve the board report as it possibly can be amended. Yes, Paul, I agree with you. The those vans were pretty remarkable. Thank you. We have Metro performance statistics, which I always find extremely interesting and really well done. Jordan, you have Jordan Holt as the director, and Jordan, and you have Luis Sanchez working with you tonight. So, Jordan and Luis, take it away. It's all yours. Thanks.
Hi everyone. I'm Jordan Holt. I'm a white female, middle-aged, with my brown and gray hair in a bun today. No glasses. I'm joined here today by my colleague I wanted to introduce to the group, Louise Ortiz Sanchez. I believe many of you have met Jay Westrick in the past. Louise is a colleague of Jay's, and Louise will be doing more of the reporting and analysis, particularly for Metro Access Service as well as Infrastructure Service. Louise has been really developing an expertise in our bus service as well, but we've been going through a process within our team to do some portfolio swapping so we can cross-train and learn even more about all service. So wanted to bring Louise today just to introduce him to the group. But I will be doing the presentation today. In the future, Louise will help out. Anu, is it possible for me to share my screen?
Sure, give me one quick moment.
Okay.
Jordan, you should be able to share now.
Perfect. I can see. Okay.
Great.
So he's a little different everywhere. Okay. So welcome everyone. The presentation I'll be giving today is one that I did share with the board last Thursday. It is focused on our fiscal year 25 through the end of quarter two service excellence report. So this covers the time frame of July 1, 2024 through December 31st, 2024. And the measures are really, with the exception of customer satisfaction, kind of inclusive of that 6-month time frame. As I mentioned, this report focuses on service excellence. That's one of Metro's four strategic goals in our strategic transformation plan. We have other reporting that we do on the other goals, but really, this is a key area of focus for Metro and what we'll be talking about today. The main takeaways are that when we look at customer satisfaction, it continues to be very high on Metro Rail, but we did see decreases on Metro Bus and Metro Access. So we'll dig into a little bit about what we have heard from our customers about opportunities to improve. We continue to see strong ridership growth this year across all, kind of when looking in totality across our system. Up 10% during these first 6 months compared to that same time period in fiscal year 24. And so December marked 45 consecutive months of growth. We're hopeful we can hit that 48, 4 years of consecutive growth every month. Continue to see very positive results in our efforts to reduce crime in the system. Crime is down 40% in fiscal year 25 so far compared to where we were last year, which is great. We are not meeting our target for on-time performance for any of our modes. So it is a focus for the team at Metro to bring that reliability up to the standards we've set for ourselves. However, we do have one bright spot is when we do look at, particularly for our bus and rail customers who use apps to plan their trips, determine when to go to the station or to the stop to wait for our vehicle. We have seen improvements in the accuracy of the information that they're receiving through those apps. So I think that's a positive trend that we're hoping to continue. This strategic goal, service excellence, has many KPIs or key performance indicators. And what you see here is a table that lists all of the key performance indicators associated with this goal. The way to read this table is the result, the number column. That is the result for the first 6 months of fiscal year 25. We set targets for each performance measure. And if there is a blue dot next to the performance measure, that means we met the target that we've set for the fiscal year. If it is a light orange dot or a dark orange dot, that means we have not met the target for this fiscal year. We also have a column that says right trend, Q2 versus Q1. If there is a check mark in that column, that means that performance is trending in the right direction. So results for Q2 were better than results for Q1. I like looking at that, particularly for measures where we have an orange dot that indicates we're not meeting target. So if we aren't meeting target, are we at least trending in the right direction? One example of that is Metrorail on-time performance. We did not meet the target we set out, but we did see better performance in Q2 compared to Q1. So that's the time period of October, November, and December. Performance during that period was better than July, August, and September, which is Q1. You see, in several cases, we did not meet our target and things are not trending in the right direction. We'll be talking about some of those so we can focus in on what we're doing. I'm happy to answer questions about any of these performance metrics. For time, I'm going to focus on a few of them, not all of them. Wanted to just call attention to two that I'm not focusing on, but that we did meet target. That is elevator availability and escalator availability. We continue to see very strong performance on those two measures this fiscal year. These measures are include when we take units out of service for capital repairs. So when an escalator is out of service for replacement or rehab, or an elevator is out of service for replacement or rehab, that counts against us. We would count that as unavailable. I know during these first 6 months of the year, we had comparatively fewer number of units out of service for this type of capital investment, but that may be increasing, particularly on the elevator side, in Q2. So we'll see how that number continues to trend, or sorry, in Q3 and Q4 as we go to the second half of the fiscal year. Customer satisfaction. So you see the results here for all three modes. I'll start with Metro Rail, which is over on the left-hand side. For each of these modes, you see we present a graph that shows performance, quarterly performance results beginning with fiscal year 23. So you can see a trend. On Metro Rail, we've seen a general positive trend. So we started FY23 out at 73% of customers saying they were satisfied from their last trip. And this quarter, 89% of customers said they were satisfied with their last trip. So we've seen steady improvements. While we dropped slightly this quarter compared to last quarter, that's not statistically significant. So this is based on a sample of customers. So there's no real meaningful difference between the 89% satisfied in Q2 and the 92% satisfied in Q1. We did see customers tell us that they are feeling safer in our Metro Rail system aboard trains, which is nice to see because we also see that with our crime rate data. So the crimes that we count and report to the FBI in our system have been decreasing, and customers are noticing that as well. They feel more safe. When customers say, what could we continue to focus on to improve ridership? Continue to focus on frequent service, particularly also continue to focus on those people misbehaving in the system. For Metrobus, you see a similar trend depicted in the graph. Metrobus, though, while rail has been kind of steady over the past 3 quarters, fairly high, Metrobus, we did see a decrease this quarter, and it is statistically significant. So this quarter, the results are lower than where we ended last quarter. This quarter, 75% of Metrobus customers said they were satisfied with their last trip. That's less than the 83% results from quarter one. We had set a target of a 75% satisfaction rate, so we met our target, but it did decrease from where we were last quarter. When we ask customers why, they really say we should be focusing on reliability. We have seen a decrease in on-time performance, so it could be what's in part behind this result. Kind of continue to invest in weekend service and continue to invest in police presence. On metro access, we did not meet our target and did see a drop. And when you look at the trend, the 71% of customers who are satisfied this quarter is the lowest level we've seen, definitely since Q1 of fiscal year 23. We know from what customers tell us that this is related to an increase in late trips. You'll see through subsequently in this presentation that we are not meeting our target for on-time performance for metro access trips, and performance has been declining. Customers also suggest that this past quarter, they were not as satisfied with the quality of service provided by dispatch. Positive highlights, though, are over 80% of customers said it was easy to make a reservation, and 90% felt safe during the trip. I do want to note that as of right now, the Metro Access customer satisfaction results are based for customers who took trips on the dedicated service or the vehicles that say Metro Access. Does not include trips on Abilities Ride. We're working with our customer research staff to add questions about Abilities Ride so we can get a bit more visibility through this survey about how customers using Abilities Ride are how satisfied they are with that service. In terms of ridership, I mentioned we continue to see ridership growth. It's kind of evenly distributed across bus and rail, roughly a few more thousand riders a day on rail than bus, but pretty neck and neck. And we've seen relatively even growth. So 10% total, about 8% growth on rail, and 10% growth on bus. Metro access, you can't quite see it on this graph. This is a line graph that shows how ridership has grown every month beginning in July of 2020. Metro access is a relatively small portion of overall ridership, so doesn't show much on this graph. This slide is showing that we've had a decrease in metro access ridership, but I want to say that with an asterisk. This ridership that's measured on this slide and presented is that trips on our dedicated service are those vehicles that say Metro Access on them. When we include trips that were delivered using Abilities Ride partners, we've actually seen a ridership growth of about 7%. More and more, a larger percentage of Metro Access trips are delivered by our Abilities Ride partners. So far this fiscal year, about 57% of all Metro Access, of all trips kind of booked through Metro Access were delivered by Abilities Ride partners. On safety and security, I mentioned really positive results with Part One crime. These are kind of serious crime that we report to the FBI. A few things to note on the graph on the left-hand side, which is a line graph and shows monthly trends in Part One crime beginning in July of 2022 or July of fiscal year 23. You can see on that graph that we had a sharp decline in March of fiscal year 24, so about 1 year ago. And the good news is that we've kind of maintained that low level since then. So we've kind of decreased the crime rate to around 4.4 Part 1 crimes per million passenger trips, and it's been steady since then. So that's really good to see. And this past quarter, we actually saw a decrease in all of our top major four major crime types. So it's also kind of decreases across the board. It's not just one crime type that's driving these results. I know there has been board discussion about transit worker assaults and thinking about things that the board can do to encourage the safety of our workers. This is a measure that we have aligned to define a transit worker and an assault to Federal Transit Administration guidance. This is a measure that's included in our safety plan, our agency safety plan, and that all transit properties actually have to measure. What you see here looking at the graph, which goes back to January of 2023 or kind of midway through fiscal year 23, is a kind of a fairly steady trend with some slight decreases or increases, sorry, in the last 12 months in terms of the rate. This is a rate per vehicle revenue mile, so scaled to the amount of service we provide. So during that time, we have seen an increase in ridership. So we have more customers in our system as well. When you look at this definition of assault, we are experiencing about two per day. This includes assaults on employees, which count for just over 90% of assaults, as well as assaults on our contractors in the system, which account for about 9%. Most assaults are on our police force. So about 47% of the total are on our police officers, followed by bus operators. So about 30% of assaults are on our bus operators, which is one of the reasons that we're focusing on testing some new designs for our bus operators of the shields that provide more enclosure and protection against assaults is one of the things that we're focused on. Okay. Reliability. I'm going to start with access. We have this first measure is on-time performance. I already mentioned when explaining the customer satisfaction results, on-time performance has been decreasing and did not meet our target. So far this fiscal year, 87.7% of trips were picked up on time. That is not meeting or less than our target of 92%. When you look at the graph on the top right-hand side, which is a line graph going back to January of 2022, you see kind of relative strong performance for the first 18 months and then kind of has been declining slightly since around January of 2024. Performance kind of more sharply declined beginning in September of this year, of 2024. And we know that some of this is related to our change in our contracting model, where we moved from kind of three service providers for Metro Access with five garages kind of geographically dispersed across the region. I believe they had three in Prince George's County, one in Montgomery County, and one in Arlington. Under the new contract model that we transitioned to and was implemented in September, we went to one Metro Access service provider with only three garages. So two of those were in Prince George's County and one in Arlington. So this contractor did not have a garage in Montgomery County. And we believe that that contributed to trips being late. Vehicles had farther to travel to go pick up, particularly the first trip, which led to more late trips. We worked with that provider and partnered with them, and they opened a location in Montgomery County in mid-December. And you do see on this graph a tick up in on-time performance in mid-December. So that was a positive result for that. I know staff have been also working to see if we could add another service delivery contractor, and I believe that happened in January. So we will look continue to monitor this, kind of tracking, hoping to get it back closer to our target of 92%. I do want to also mention that this measure is really only focused on trips that were delivered by dedicated service, those vehicles that have metro access on them. We're trying to think through ways to get kind of more similar data related to trips that were provided by Abilities Ride partners. We don't have access right now to as much data about that, but are trying to think through ways so that we can kind of also reflect that experience of the more than half of customers who took the trips on Abilities Ride and make sure we have a bit more visibility there. The transition to the new contract model also led to an increase in missed trips or service not delivered. This slide speaks to how much of our scheduled service are we actually delivering. It also focuses on trips delivered by Metro Access vehicles. We set a very high standard for this. We want to deliver 99.25% of all of our scheduled trips. That's our target. We are not meeting that so far this fiscal year. We came in at 97.5%. And you see kind of a continued decline from September, October, and November in this chart, this line chart on the top right. Similar to on-time performance, we did see an improvement in December, an uptick in December, that we also believe is related to working with a contractor to open that Montgomery County location. One of the main reasons that customers that we miss trips is because the trip has arrived too late after the pickup window and the customer decides not to take it. So this measure, the results of this are highly correlated with our on-time performance measure. Looking at bus on-time performance also didn't make target. As I mentioned, when we were talking about customer satisfaction, that customers tell us to focus on reliability if we want their satisfaction to improve and for them to arrive more or ride more. So far this fiscal year, 75.5% of buses were on time, which misses our target of 78%. We've seen an increase in late trips. That's the primary reason that customers or that trips are late. And have particularly seen that increase in the AM peak and PM peak periods. So we have correlated this kind of decrease in on-time performance with an increase in road congestion. So we're most likely to have late trips where crowds are mo or roads are most crowded. One of the things we're working on is one of our opportunities to address this is to look at how much time bus trips are allotted in the schedule. We typically make schedule updates 2 to 3 times a year. We did one in December that updated information for about 26 routes. We'll see how that works. We're also launching a new bus network in June, at the end of June. And so have been working on looking at what the appropriate time to complete a trip should be for that schedule and developing a plan. We know we won't get everything right. So developing a plan to use data to assess how we're doing and identify opportunities to improve in the next subsequent schedule updates. We also just missed our target for the percent of scheduled bus service that we're delivering. Here we've set a target of 98%. And by, I mean, when I say just missed, we really just missed it. We came in at 97.8%. So it was very close. You see here the line chart on the right. We've been doing pretty well, kind of also hovering just under that 98% this entire fiscal year. What does this mean? Well, we schedule 12,000 bus trips a day. And so if we miss 97.8%, that's about missing 260 trips a day. The main reason we miss trips is because we don't have an operator. We call that operator availability. They're either absent or sometimes there's certain runs that we just have to, we cover from the extra board. So one of the ways that we address operator availability is to make sure that we're continually recruiting and training operators to cover when people leave Metro or retire from Metro. And in the last 3 months, we had 159 bus operators graduate. So that's good, helping us keep up with this attrition and reduce the chances of missed trips. Many of us, myself included, use real-time apps to assess when we need to go and wait for the bus or when our bus is coming. And we have two measures of this that we track through this report. One is what we call bus real-time information availability. And what this is the percentage of scheduled trips that even just show up in your app. Because sometimes we've programmed our app to only show buses that have real-time information. So I'm pleased to say that we've met our target. Our target was 93, is 93% of scheduled trips basically have real-time information. So have real-time information and show up in that app. And we just met that. So we were at 93%. We hadn't been meeting that for several months, but have recently made some changes to some of the algorithm that runs in the background to better match trips that may have a functioning GPS but don't have a way to tell us what route they're operating on, to basically look at the way that they're traveling down the roads and match them to a route. And then that enables that information to show up in our customer-facing apps. So that's been one thing that we've been really focused on. The second way that we measure real-time information is looking at how accurate those predictions are. So once we know those routes or trips are showing up in your app, we want to know how accurate is that information you're getting about when that bus will arrive. So we've set a target there of that around at least 86.5% of the time those predictions are accurate. And we've been exceeding that target. We've been doing better than that target so far this fiscal year. On average, 89.3% of predictions were accurate. We saw a huge improvement in accuracy following some changes that we made to the algorithm in August of 2024. We did see a slight dip in performance in December, but although still better than our target, kind of really due to lighter traffic during that holiday season, resulting in trips kind of arriving earlier than usual. Some of the things that we've been really focused on is making sure that we can provide predictions and accurate predictions when we have short-term service changes, like snow days or road closures for major events. And we've kind of been starting to implement develop some capability that will enable us to better track that detours and factor that information into our predictions. Closing out on rail on-time performance did not meet target, but has been pretty consistent over the course of the fiscal year, hovering or on average around 87.5% of trips on time, which is less than our target of 91%. We are really focused on investing in automation as a way to drive this number up. When trains operate in manual mode, that just kind of difference in acceleration that each operator may have can really create some variability in travel time. That variability can lead to some late trips. So we've seen, as we've been rolling out automatic train operation on the Red Line, we've seen both that customer trips are getting faster, but also kind of more on schedule, more on time. For example, kind of when automatic train operation, which was rolled out just in mid-December on the Red Line, we did see an initial bump of about 3% of OTP on that. So we're continuing to track that and are kind of trying to estimate what this could look like system-wide once ATO or automatic train control operation, sorry, is rolled out. Finally, closing out with one last measure, like on bus, where we measure prediction accuracy, we do the same thing on rail. You'll note that our standards for rail prediction accuracy are much higher. Our target is higher than on bus. And that's because, rail operates in a closed system. We have our dedicated rail system. Bus is on roads and, is subject to accidents and collisions, police detours, et cetera. So it's much so there's more variability in predictions. But on rail, we've set a target that we want our predictions to be at least 97% accurate, and have done better than that this fiscal year at 97.7%. And when you look at the line graph on the top right, you can see a kind of steady upward trend. I think maintaining that 97.7% will be really good. I don't think we'll ever hit 100, but we've been kind of pushing the envelope to get us this high. One of the things we did several things in November that led to quite a marked improvement compared to October. One was how we handle in our prediction feed duplicate and canceled trips, removing those so that customers are less likely to see predictions for trains that aren't coming. And then one of the things we've really been focused on, we know it's been a source of customer complaint and a poor experience, is the accuracy of predictions at terminals. We were having particular challenges at Largo, which served both Silver and Blue Line trains. Our team has really looked at that and made Metro's team and made some upgrades to that algorithm. Saw a big improvement at most terminals, and particularly Largo. We're now about 94.5% of predictions are accurate compared to 83.3% just last quarter. That's the graph on the bottom right. It shows at each of our terminal stations for rail, the light blue is the accuracy of predictions at that terminal during the first quarter of fiscal year 25, and the dark blue is the accuracy of predictions at that terminal in the second quarter of fiscal year 25. That's everything I was going to focus on. I think I went way over my time, so I apologize. I can talk about this forever.
Jordan, no, that's perfect. That's great. We don't have a real super packed agenda tonight, so this is good. I'm glad you took the time. Questions from committee members?
Yes, Chair Sheehan,
Thank you.
Paul Semaphore, and then Philip Weintraub. So, Paul, go ahead.
Hello, Jordan. Paul Semaphore, Metro Access Subcommittee Chairperson. I would love if you can work with the new, if you have time on your calendar this month, to come to my subcommittee meeting on the 17th of March and maybe kind of represent this. And I thank you for the information. We do get statistics from Metro Access Management every month on specific details. So I would like to see over time how, if you can develop some kind of tool particularly of concern for us. What I'm hearing tonight is you're describing customer satisfaction towards speaking to dispatch over the phone, and that translates into, I guess, where's my ride? Or is there a way that you can take a deeper dive into this as to what is that this fact satisfaction look like? If you have any further details, or what type of deeper dive questions can we get into to get extrapolate as to what that looked like in a plan towards begin to fix that situation, because that's and it's great that we see the trend with reservations. I do still see some opportunities with that if customers have expressed, while there's definitely improvement, some there, as I've observed and other people have, gave their observations, there's opportunities for improvement with that, like calling in the reservations. I called this weekend, I was on an almost 30-minute hold, looking at different other factors around it, just to make sure, when customers come in for those two major things, reservations and where's my ride, they should be receiving, exceptional customer service.
Thank you. Yes. I'd be happy. I believe I'm free on March 17th, so I'd be happy to come speak with you. We can look more into the survey in particular to see if there's any comments that customers gave us about what in particular with dispatch that they kind of were having some challenges with. I think as you're aware, we and I meant to plug this, we have a dashboard on WMATA.com. WMATA.com that provides a few additional measures, particularly for Metro Access, looking at the percent of reservations called answered within 2 minutes and the percent of where's my ride calls answered in 2 minutes. Just kind of briefly pulling it over here if you can see
Oh
it.
yeah, I'm looking at it on my other computer screen right now.
Yeah. You
I
can see
watch
that it does
that
look
at
like
all.
things, particularly the Where My Ride calls, like decreased in the October, November, and December timeframe, and have since jumped up in January and February. So it'll be interesting to see if customer has notif have noticed that in the satisfaction
And
survey.
I noticed that with staff, because we talk as a committee every month and getting updates that they've increased staffing, so they're making strides. And we just now want to look at the quality assurance and
Yep.
making
Okay.
suggestions, like we have a quality assurance team, maybe need
Yep.
listen more, hone in those calls to help collect some of that data. And we look at the for the longest time, as I look at the monthly data, the number of customer complaints have been well under the minimum, and then over the past year that has went past that. And maybe you want to look at, in terms of the complaints that are coming in, maybe the top three based on your survey information or whatever information that
Yep.
you
Okay.
pulled. Talk about that just to give you ideas.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Thank you,
Thank
Paul.
you. Good.
And new, we'll add that to the agenda where it says open discussion. We can pull that, and that will
Sure.
be
You know you're tasking her on St. Patrick's Day, Paul. You're aware of that.
Of course.
Of course. Okay. Just wanted to make sure everyone knew. Good. Philip, I think you're up next.
Yes. Philip
Yes.
and Sarah
Hi.
and
Oh, I'm
Philippa.
sorry. Who is up next, Anna?
Philip Weintraub.
Oh, Philip. Yes. Philip,
Hi. Yes.
you're up next.
I have noticed, like, I've been hearing from friends and colleagues, even though I have didn't remember seeing this any of it in this presentation, but a lot of people having issues with is this where they this feature where they can download their smart trip card on their phone and use their phone to go through the fare gates or across the fare box on the bus. And a lot of times they have to like hit it like it does a lot of times you have to hit it like multiple times to get it to actually work. Do you know what's going on to like fix that so they can get better performance with that and they can just get right in like the same way they would use actually the hard card.
Thank you for mentioning that. I personally have also experienced that. I do know that we are always working, we do regular kind of software upgrades or updates to our fare gates and fare boxes. And so one of the things that we had recently updated for was better kind of tracking of when, you know, people are bringing in kind of larger objects and how the fare gates can't handle that. I haven't heard anything about whether any of these updates could have impacted kind of that kind of customer experience with having to kind of tap your card multiple times, but it's something I can ask about. That's what immediately comes to mind if there's a change that it might be related to kind of a parameter that we've been trying to tweak elsewhere that may have impacted that, but we'll share that and see what we can find out.
Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, next is Sarah and then Philippa Mazzell. So, Sarah, go ahead.
Hi, this is Sarah. Yeah, I had a question for you about elevators, which you mentioned at the beginning and then said you weren't going to discuss. So I'm sorry if I'm dragging you off track. I just sort of part of it, I have two parts to my question. The first is when you say that the rate was, I think you said 93% or something like that. Do you distinguish in those statistics between planned outages and unplanned outages? And for the latter, is there a certain amount of time that they're down where that counts? Or how do you account for things being down briefly for some small incident?
Great question. So I've flipped ahead to, I did have a slide on elevator availability. So we do count for, it counts everything. So it counts planned outages and unplanned outages. And really any time what it counts is any time really anything. So we the source of this information is a work order. So really what that is it if it is not working, the station manager will call in and call our elevator control center, and they will dispatch someone who, you know, works for elevator maintenance to investigate. And as they dispatch, they note the time and they open a work order. And then that triggers us to count this elevator as unavailable. The elevators also have some sensors that tell us if they're working or not. And we've kind of compared kind of the accuracy of using those sensor data with the work order and have found kind of a very strong overlap. So feel pretty comfortable using the work order data, but it includes everything.
Okay, the second half of my question would be, and this you might not be the right person to answer this, is what is supposed to happen when the elevators are down? So there was two incidents with two different wheelchair users that I am aware of about a week ago, and I could get you the actual dates and stuff if you want. But in the one case, the person was trying to get—I forget if it was coming or going from Tenleytown, which was known to be out—and they were very happy because they got there. Or to wherever it was they were going, and they were, oh, the elevator's out. Somebody took notice of the fact that it was out. They called a bus immediately. They got put on a special bus and were whisked off to their next stop, which was great. They were amazed at how quickly that happened. The other case was at Foggy Bottom, and the elevator was not known to be down. So they had to alert the operator. And then I guess the operator did call it in, but they didn't seem to have a plan for what to do with that person. The person was also sort of offended because the operator insisted, or the manager, station attendant, whoever, whatever the right word is, insisted on speaking to their friend that was with them instead of the disabled person themselves, and was asking about carrying the wheelchair down the escalators or something, which was, not going to work. And they ended up having to like wheel themselves to the next station or something. But I'm just curious, like what is supposed to happen?
The first instance is what's supposed to happen. In some cases, depending on the design of the station, there may be an opportunity if kind of it depends on the station design, but like if you're coming in on the train in one direction, kind of the elevator may be inaccessible. They may have two, this is a case where there's kind of like two elevators, but if you're coming in the opposite direction, it is accessible. So in some of those cases, we ask a person's needing to use the elevator to kind of maybe travel one station further and then switch directions, and then they can use the elevator at that station. But generally, what's supposed to happen is it should be reported, it should show up as unavailable, and that a bus should be called by the station manager.
Right. And that did seem to happen in that case. I think they were heading for Tenleytown and were told not to. I don't remember. I didn't get the full details, but they were very pleasantly surprised at how quickly a dedicated bus came to get them.
That's good news. Yeah, that's what's supposed to happen.
Okay. The other case was not.
The other case, it sounded like that's one of those ones where you were asking like, how do we know it's unavailable? It sounds like that was kind of the first that we had a report that the elevator was unavailable. So once it is unavailable, it gets and the station manager reports it. It should be showing up on in real time information that it's unavailable, so that it, and that should trigger a plan for how to address or alternate arrangements for persons who really rely on that elevator.
Right.
Thank you,
And
Sarah. Oh, go ahead.
so I'm just going to say, so in that case, should there have been a bus called or something?
As I mentioned, it really depends on the only dependency is the layout of the station. I'm not 100% sure of what the contingency is for the L'Enfant Plaza station,
It
I
was
think,
Foggy Bottom.
Foggy Bottom. Not 100% sure what that plan looks like, but
Okay.
yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Anu?
Yes, so next is Philippa.
And we probably need to wrap it up after our next, if we have one more question. What do we have
Yes,
there? Yeah, okay.
it's just Philippa and not
Okay.
anyone else. Yes.
Because we've kept
Jordan,
Jordan
sorry.
overtime here.
Yes, we have. Thank you for staying, Jordan.
Good afternoon, Jordan, and thank you for your presentation. And I'm definitely impressed by your enthusiasm with what you do. I just had a couple of quick questions. I don't know if the trains are all automated now or if they're being run manually, but yesterday I got on a train at U Street to go to Greenbelt. That's usually a 22-minute trip. And I got on at 12:13, and I didn't get there till 12:52. And the train kept stopping. It would linger at stations for a minute or 2 minutes. And I'm just wondering what was going on that that train took twice as long as usual to get to its destination.
That is, so it is not, our Green Line is not running in auto, it is manual. It is not running
Okay.
in fully automatic. That your trip will show up as one of the late trips. I'm
Oh,
not,
yes.
I don't know exactly what happened to that trip. It probably kind of the most common reason that customers are late is, or that we have late trips is kind of an unplanned service disruption. So that could be something that was going on kind of further down the line. It sounds like your train was okay, but it could be kind of a train malfunction further down the line or a customer incident or something like that that caused it to move more slowly.
Okay. And you may or may not even be the person to ask this to, but I was just curious today. I called Metro Access to book a ride, and their message said that today only they were doing same day trips. And I was wondering what's going on that today they were doing same day trips,
I
if
don't
you
know
know.
the answer to that one.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. That's all. I'm done.
Okay,
Sure.
thank you.
Thank you.
That Jordan, wonderful presentation. Excellent as always. Appreciate your time here and what you do for WMATA. Great
Thanks. I
work.
appreciate all of you. Thank you for all the questions and
Thanks.
for everything you do to advocate for us to be better. So thank you.
Well, you do a great job. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Great.
Okay, well, that was a great presentation by Jordan, and Next, we have DMV Moves Chair Sheehan, if you would like to.
DMV moves. Well,
Yes.
this report's going to be short. I know we're running behind time. We gave Jordan a little extra time. I think her report was excellent. I don't have a whole lot on DMV moves, and I'll apologize to the committee. Was hoping there was a 2.5 hour meeting yesterday that I could not attend. I was coming down with something, and it was in urgent care, and I had to miss the meeting yesterday morning. The meeting dealt with the Community Partners Group and the Government Partners Group. They were going through the different subcommittee groups that are out there that we've all been working on producing an overall product that we're going to be reporting out to the big, larger committee with a set of recommendations moving forward. I did not get a chance to do that, and it probably might be able to report that in some of the subcommittee meetings if I can get some more information from let's say the RAC. They were also at that meeting, and I might ask them what some of these subcommittee reports were that were going on. I will say that of the two subcommittees that I work on, one dealing with the bus systems, that I have been trying very hard to follow the efforts of Prince George's County as to what they are working on and what they're trying to move towards. They are working towards implementing as best they can with the money that they have, the resources they currently have, a lot of bus rapid transit, ensuring that bus rapid transit systems in Prince George's County are going to be efficient, effective, and well well resourced. So Efron, who was I guess he's coming to your meeting next week, Tino. I think that I would very much like to find out what his thinking was. He actually was going to have a meeting. Prince George's County was actually going to have a meeting with the lady who runs the bus rail subgroup to talk about specifics on bus rapid transit in Prince George's County. So I've been trying to mirror exactly what they've been putting in as far as data to that bus rail committee. There's been a lot of interest between DC, Virginia, Montgomery County with respect to the existing bus rapid transit routes, particularly on Georgia Avenue. A lot of cross city stuff in DC with respect to these routes, taking the existing routes that they have and trying to make them more efficient, making sure that they have dedicated lanes, that they're not being impacted by localities. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of politics, I guess, that gets into how fast the buses go, when they stop, when they have right of way, and all that I had no idea about. So a lot of people have their own individual routes within within the jurisdictions. DC, let's say, has a lot. Virginia had a lot, and Montgomery County had a lot. So I will be interested to see what Prince George's County had to say with respect to her their interest in bus rapid transit and where their bus system goes. The other subcommittee that I have been working with that deals with signage, we are very much aware of what's been going on with respect to signage within the system, how it's being laid out. We know that with DMV moves, I mean with Better Bus Network, we know what's happening with that signage. They're trying to make sure that the signage between the jurisdictions are uniform. That they're uniform not only between WMATA, but also the local systems, the ride-on systems, and so that as you go from place to place within the system, it's not like you have to adapt to a new signage system. So you're looking at what the wording's going to be like, what the color contrast is going to be like, where is the positioning of the signs. It's going to be in the same place, same location, so that people have an idea of what they're doing, what the signs are going to say, how they're going to follow it. And I think they're making good progress with respect to the signage on bus rail. I have not gotten a lot of information on what they're doing with the overall funding, though I do hear that they are making progress on overall funding and the amount of money that's being dedicated to the system. The difficulty, and I think it may take a couple of years of being able to take the funding process that Virginia has and sort of meld it with DC and then Maryland, who all have other funding issues, as we all know, and trying to make it so that you've got some dedicated funding coming into the system at a routine basis all the time, so that we don't go and have what we had last year, where we had a financial cliff. I haven't heard anything indicating that that is a possibility downstream. They are working on a rainy day fund. They are taking money and making sure that that's dedicated to that fund. We are seeing better numbers with respect to bus and rail participation, better, more money coming in, which means that we have to borrow less money from capital, which is important so that the system upkeep and major system projects that go out to at least 2030, 2035 are able to be funded and prioritized. So that's helping the situation quite a bit as far as Metro is concerned. The return to work by federal employees, even though I'm sure federal employees don't like that, is going to be also helping the situation. So all of that is sort of feeding into a better picture budget-wise for WMATA. So they're working really on those three tracks. What I haven't seen and a lot on is exactly what we just saw with Jordan. Everyone is counting things in a different way. So from a data perspective, we couldn't get sort of a regional data, a dump of information, so that we would know on time performance from let's say Fairfax or whatever, compare that to Montgomery County, and you really look at it regionally. I think that's going to take a while for us to break down and may be able to get an understanding of talk, what the terms mean in the different areas, and what the data is saying regionally, as opposed to what we're seeing just on WMATA right now. I would love it if we had the ability to look at data from place to place, but data is hard to get. The terms need to be defined and agreed on by localities and regions, jurisdictions. They're working towards that, but I think that's going to take a little bit more time. Trying to think of the other larger areas that of concern. I have not really had a chance to look at what's been going on with the government side, and what their issues have been. Once I get more information on that, on those types of equations, I will let you know. I think they are looking at fare simplification. There are some things that can be done fairly easily regionally, and so they're looking to make sure that those things get done. They absolutely are very interested in the Better Bus Network, and even though in 20, where are we now? 26, coming up to 26, what we're seeing is things that are cost neutral. The overall network that they're looking to put into place, the expanded network that they're looking to put into place, that's going to cost money. And right now, we're seeing jurisdictions don't have the money to pay for that, but that is still the plan going forward to implement that. And that's going to do an awful lot regionally for us to be able to have this DMV moves reality going forward. We will see probably a we will have a final report. I think it's May timeframe that will come out, should have timelines, a series of recommendations. Some of them will be capital based, funding based. Some of them will be dealing with what they can do in the short term going forward. It should be fairly comprehensive. There's still a very a lot of movement, a lot of dedication to the project. People really want to get this done. I think that there have been some good progress, and there'll be some more joint meetings coming up. So as I attend those, I can report more fully with data or areas of agreement that we made going forward to this committee. So I apologize for missing that meeting on Friday. It just There was no way when I woke up Friday morning that I was able to make that meeting. And then my backup, Denise, it wasn't isn't able to make wasn't able to make that either. But so I kind of let you guys down, but I'll get there for the next one, I think. Overall questions for me on DMV moves?
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu.
Yes, I know.
We do not have any hands up
Oh,
at
these
this point.
guys are letting me off easy tonight, aren't they? Good.
And
Well,
I just want to say that we are at 6:51, so
okay.
perhaps we could start the public comment section. And
Let's do that.
given if we have time remaining, Grover, I see you just raised your hand. If we have any time remaining, we can come back to Waymap discussion with the committee and then take a few minutes for each of the report, the supplemental
Absolutely.
report.
Good.
Grover, please go ahead.
No, I was just saying that Tino was trying to raise a hand and was having difficulty there.
Oh, okay. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you.
Tino.
For some reason, my iPad does not provide me with the raise hands ability. So I'd like to just mention one thing about DMV moves. There are only about 3 months left. And back when the full committee had its December meeting, as I understand it from press reports, they did not come away with any agreement except to dismiss two of four options. Two of four options were dismissed. One
Do
option
you go ahead, Tina? Yeah.
was to rely on more funding and also to have a one bus system network for all the jurisdictions. On the other hand, since December, of course, we've had a new administration, and the transportation department there is going to base its funding on the birth rates of jurisdictions. Jurisdictions with higher birth rates will be more favored in funding than jurisdictions with low birth rates. And Washington, D.C. is not all of the DMV, but Washington, D.C. is one of the cities with the lowest birth rate. So I don't know how the new funding pattern based on Secretary Duffy and President Trump is going to affect our future funding from the federal government, but I'm sure it will, although we don't know how. And the other thing is, as I understand it from the last report of the DMV moves, which was reported by media in December, there was no consensus except for two of four options. So hopefully they'll come to agreement on one option and they'll have enough funding to work on those, to deliver on those options.
Right. Yeah, there were four scenarios that we were looking at, and I think they were looking at scenario number two.
One and two.
One was kind of what we have now. Two was moving towards a more implementing the cost neutral things going forward, as like your DMV moves. I mean, like your Better Bus Network plan, and several things that were pretty much costing neutral. putting together acquisition plans that were going to be more regional wide, as opposed to individual, jurisdictions doing their own things, localities doing their own things, combining how they're doing their acquisitions with buses, making things like fare simplification regional wide, as opposed to, and those things were just organizational things. And they what they really wanted to move towards was how much could they combine with scenario two and scenario three. Scenario three looking at, more funding, more emergency funding, making sure that they had an emergency rainy day fund, looking at how they could combine, and this would be the difficult thing, with Virginia, DC, and Maryland able to feed into the system at a, at a predictable rate, so that WMATA wouldn't come, so we wouldn't be where we were last year with a financial cliff and having to have a doomsday budget and all of that. They have been making some progress in that area. And I was surprised, between you and me, that the DMV moves general meetings that we had with the Community Partners Advisory Group were canceled in December, I'm sorry, in January and February, but they were substituted with the six subcommittee groups that have been working individually. And those were the reports that were given a couple of days ago. And those will be more fully discussed and integrated by the task group, and then presented to the overall task group for them to take a look at. So I think there's going to be consensus with those groups. I know for the two that I was working on, that it was pretty lively discussion, particularly on the bus side, which is why it would be great for you for some of the questions to focus on with our Prince George's County individual, about where he is moving with DMV moves, and kind of what his transit vision plan is going to look like. And in relation to, Maryland, considering we have a $3 billion deficit, I think, and how that all impacts on what he can get done. And everyone else is looking at the same kind of issues. So, I'll get as much information as I can. I'd like to set up maybe some meetings so that we can see how the accessibility of these systems is working, and particularly in Prince George's County, that would be my focus right now.
Okay.
Thank you, Tina. I appreciate your support on this too. So whatever you know and whatever you can share with the rest of the group is great.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
So Chair Sheehan, would you, this is Anu. Would you like to begin with the public comment section?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So I just want to remind any members of the public that if you would like to send in your comments before or after the meetings, you can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's spelled out MetroaacchairAT@wmata.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. And if we have any members of the public who would like to make comments now, please let us know. And if we don't have any public comments, which I'm not seeing as of right now, then we can talk about DMV moves, and then followed by the two subcommittee reports.
Let's see, the talk about the way map, you mean?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Wait a
Thank
minute. Okay.
you.
Yeah, n not a
Okay.
problem.
Yes.
Good. I'm trying to get off DMV moves.
Oh, Janice. Yes. Well, we did talk about it. Janice, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes, I just this is Janice Samuel, African American woman. I wanted to know if the committee was able to connect with the Commission for Individuals with Disability, is that the name of it? Commission for Individuals with Disabilities?
In print.
The Prince George's County Commission for Individuals with Disabilities to come and speak, I believe, at the bus and rail.
So, Janice, this is Anu. First of all, I want to thank you for trying to start that communication with them.
Sure.
They were perhaps they were thinking we would like to go and attend one of their meetings, not for them to come to our meeting.
Mm-hmm.
However, we had Ifan Ipanti come to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting in January. Thanks to the board member. So Mr. Ipanti is coming back this month at next week's Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting, and he may be able to share additional information as far as the Prince George's County's transit vision plan is concerned and any updates related to that. So,
okay, thank you.
On PG County.
All right, I will say, Anu, at the most recent board meeting, I don't know if anybody else heard this, but Don Drummer was very, very kind to this committee and thanked this committee a lot for the work that that this committee has done, and particularly the reports that are given, the works that done, the collaboration with the different jurisdictions. He had a lot of good stuff to say about this committee. So kudos to all of you for doing the work, being professional, keeping the conversations on point, and getting back good recommendations to the board of directors. They really appreciated that. So I thought that was very, very kind, very professional, because he's been a huge help to us in helping to get that conversation going in Prince George's County. But that was nice to hear.
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up, Chair Sheehan. That was really good to hear the board talk about, recognize the efforts and the work that's being done and their focus on accessibility. So that was certainly great to hear.
It's nice to hear, yes. Let's see. So jumping to Waymap, when was that? Was it the 12th? February 12th?
The launch?
The launch, the launch rollout.
13th? That was the 12th, yes.
12th, okay. Anyways, so the Waymap project, which I think had, it's been running, it ran over, I think. Maybe it was a four-year project. We thought it might be two. Launched on February 12th. Tino, you've been highly involved in it. We had how many, six people from the committee there?
Yeah.
You guys would like to give us your impressions of the ceremony and what you think of the project? That'd be great.
Well, one of the things that I asked Kelso, the CEO, I asked him as we were departing the conference from where the launch was held, I asked him, had they solved the problem of how wheelchair users could take advantage of the Waymap app? And he said, no, they hadn't resolved that. And I was a little bit taken aback, because in the room among the speakers was a person in a wheelchair. And one could fairly assume that the person in the wheelchair must know something about that and might have even tested it. But Kelso, who's been involved with this as long as we've been involved with it, said that they haven't solved that yet. And we should encourage them to keep working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. It's true that that they have a breakthrough app, and it enables WMATA to claim to be at the forefront nationally and even internationally with this app, which is useful not just for persons with low vision or blind, but other people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even tourists if they learn how to use the app.
Right.
But the Waymap hasn't solved this wheelchair use, and so we should encourage them to do that. We should also encourage them to develop a video or some other means by which potential users can learn how to use it at home.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Another presentation, it was talking heads with no opportunity to answer questions and no visuals. They might have had some kind of a video which shows how it can be used, maybe in the station and maybe even outdoors and in the around a bus stop and its environs. So I think we should write them and encourage them to continue working to solve the wheelchair use challenge. We should tell them that it'd be helpful the next time if they have a presentation to have some kind of video to show how mm-hmm. it's used and how maybe by that time wheelchair people could use, but anybody can use it. And maybe meet with them again because
right.
there were unanswered questions because no questions were raised.
Well, I know they did start a little bit late. I thought it was going to be 2:30. I think they started at 3. One of the things that's interesting, Tino, there is a technology out there called Glidance or the Glide that is almost looks like a little bit like a vacuum cleaner kind of thing that you can use as a blind person to push in front of you, and it avoids objects, and it also has a lot of AI stuff in it and actually rolls along the ground. So there is technology out there that they could marry with something like, you know, that's already using an algorithm that is based on not steps, but wheels, so that they could maybe take a look at that kind of technology, talk to the Glidance people and see if they could marry Glidance and Waymap together. Because I know Waymap is working with, I think it's IRA, which is a virtual technology used through your iPhone and camera to help you get around. And so a lot of these technologies are up and coming and they're just hitting the market. And I think the Glidance will be the Glide. And I can send you some information on that, some videos on how it works. I think that that's going to be out in September of 2025. And so maybe it's letting people who are developing A talk to B and see if they can get their smart people to collaborate. Because I know the wheelchair piece had more to do with the algorithms than the, you know, and how to measure the wheel going around. Well, that's something perhaps I think that the Glide people have already solved. So it's getting A people to talk to B people, and we'll see what happens. One thing that I was curious about also, Tino, I was not aware that they had also put these, this system had gone out to, I forget how many it was, 350 something bus routes or whatever. So they had all of the buses in the system, in the WMATA system, tagged and identified. Well, that was news to me. So I wanted a little bit more information in a question and answer period that, of course, you saw we didn't have on that whole thing, because how would that work in Prince George's County? You know, be able to find bus stops and all that. How does that work when we're looking at remote, you know, remote bus stops, and does it tell us that we have a bus island out there? All kinds of little questions were coming up. Yeah.
Hi, so, this is Barbara. May I answer some of these questions? Hey, Patrick. Caucasian female, short brown hair. I wanted to let you know that as of today and whatnot, the Waymap will not be able to be used to travel on the buses, any bus system. That's Metro, ART, Ride On, and so forth.
Oh, really? It will not?
It is not. And wow. They are in negotiations with these bus partners. So that's it's a huge job. I mean, as you know, there's many, many bus
Right, but according,
routes.
okay. Yeah, well, according to their press release, or at least a
Yep.
press release I read, is that they had their system was able to pinpoint the bus stops.
Yes.
Well, you cannot use it as a user. So they may that may be true, but we're not there yet.
So we're not there yet, and our system works to find bus stops. That seems like a point of confusion.
This
But
it's a huge job to roll out something like
oh yeah,
this.
no, that and actually, Barbara, I'm not arguing with you. That's why I was surprised that that had been stated, because I was not aware of that. I was aware of the ability to find bus stops in and around the bus stations that
Correct, at the
were
bus
there,
loops.
right? In the loops and all that, in the stations and all that kind of thing. Yeah, that was fine. Or the transit centers or that sort of thing. But saying that we pinpointed all the bus stops within the area from, let's say, Loudoun to Gaithersburg, that's huge. I didn't
Yeah.
realize that that was the case. So,
I
yeah.
think we could agree that this is a huge job and that we should actually encourage, if anything, Waymap to go slow so that we could it
Oh
can be done right.
yeah.
No, Barbara, they led us to believe that they had done that already. They led
Well, it's
that
they're
done.
laying the groundwork, the foundation for it, but it, as I said earlier, it's not you will not be able to get
Okay.
anywhere using the Waymap on any bus system at the time.
So that would
Now,
be good for us to be able to investigate. Now, on something like that, Barbara, just so I understand, the project that we're talking about is a, it's not a WMATA project, it's really a Waymap project, right?
correct.
Okay, so I can't go in front of the board and say WMATA should be doing this. It's something that we need to approach Waymap on
Yes.
and ask them. Okay, so let's,
And they
yeah.
are very responsive to their emails. If you go into the Waymap app, you will see some kind of version of contact us, and then they would respond to that. Or if you have Tom Pei's direct email, that's
Yeah.
another way.
Well, so what we can do, Tina, I'm thinking, because I know your plate isn't full at all on bus and rail, right? But maybe let's work through Anu and see the most effective way to be in touch with Waymap, so that we're working with Waymap directly, but maybe through Anu, so that we can make sure the communication is proper. How about that?
Well, I've been in touch with Kelso Zuccolo and
Yeah.
Tom Pei directly.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if we want to bring them through to a bus rail committee meeting and have them present, it would be good to be work to let Anu know that we'd like to make that connection. You know, so everybody on the committee would know what you're learning, and we can all ask questions. It's just a different way of focusing it. But I agree with you. They're the ones responsible for the project. But I think in working through and getting them to come to a bus rail meeting, let's make sure Anu knows, so that it can be the invitation can be made properly to them.
And Patrick, just this is
Yeah.
Barbara again, just to clarify that this is not Metro's app. It just happens to
Right.
be in Metro's stations, as it will be in some other
Right.
places in the world. So what I'm trying to say is, in terms of a help desk, that would be directly with Waymap.
Right. And so, yeah, it's a Waymap project, and just as they've reported through bus rail in the past through WMATA, that would be good. Which is a good point of clarification, Barbara, because I was confused about the connection, you know, where the responsibility was between WMATA and Waymap. I was thinking more it was a WMATA project, And it really was a Waymap project. So that clarification is good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Barbara. Great.
Yep. And I wanted to also address the video. There are approximately three videos for prospective users. And again, while it's not Metro's app, I strongly encourage the users to view and listen to those videos. There's a lot of helpful tips in there.
Okay.
And I agree with Tino that maybe there should have been some video shown on the launch site. And certainly Evelyn knows everything about this app, and she could have done it. But yeah, because there was some people at my table who were, I had to kind of explain what Waymap is, and then I realized, wow, they don't really know, but they were very excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all excited about it. It's to their credit, and Randy Clark was there, and we know that they view WMATA as a big partner in this, and they keep praising WMATA for being a world leader in adopting this app. But now there are more questions than, you know, when we left that meeting, it seemed like they were much ahead of where they were. It was only at the end of the meeting I found out that wheelchair users are not yet able to use it. We afterwards talked about the fact that maybe they should have had a video presentation. We wondered about the fact that they had the wheelchair users as a main speaker, and that led some of us to assume that he had used it, and apparently he couldn't have because they haven't worked out the problem yet.
Yeah.
Well, he was walking too at the event, so you know he may be able to use it without his wheelchair, to be fair.
Let's see. Anybody? We had a couple other people who were at the presentation too. Thanks, Barbara and Tina.
Here she had this.
You're welcome.
Sandy has her hand up. Sandy.
Sandy.
So hi, this is Sandy. I tried using it. I guess I need to look at the video to see how it's really supposed to work because I had no luck getting it to get started as I was entering China Place, Gallery Place, Chinatown Metro. Yes, absolutely. Barbara's right. There is on the app a place on my Android phone. It says give feedback or something like that. So it's very easy through the app to say what doesn't work or what does work. And I think we all have to keep in mind, this is not a WMATA app. This is a Waymap app. And I would not invite them back soon. I would wait several months to give them some time to, you know, get some feedback and make some improvements. Because
right.
They're not ready for prime time yet. I mean, they may be ready for prime time sooner than it appears, but like Patrick said, you know, it was going to be done in 2 years and now it's already 4 years and it's not quite ready yet. So I wouldn't be rushing to invite them back for a few months at least.
Okay. One of the areas that I thought we were going to get more of I think the technology is great. I've used it. It's accurate. It does provide some wonderful accessibility, but you really need to have some training developed that's going to be, you know, you hand somebody the app, they've never seen it before, they can walk their way through it. I was familiar with it because I worked with them for a couple of years on this, so 2-3 years, so I was familiar with walking through the systems, testing it. I tested about 3 or 4 times, but I would want to have, you know, training, because a lot of it I was using their system when I went through when we started working, which is different than having it on my own iPhone and running it through and then, you know, having to figure out what's working, what's not. So training would be the big thing that I would want to see happen.
This is Barbara again. Keep in mind that this is not actually GPS. It's far more sophisticated. And so there is this learning curve. And Sandy, for right now, the iPhone version, Apple version is better cosmetically, the user interface. So they said that they are working on the Android, and their programmers are they have a lot of work in front of them, and they're very busy. So it's not like they're sitting on their laurels now. They're very, very interested in these improvements.
And they do want to expand it, actually, not just keep it within WMATA, but they want to expand it out throughout the city and connect with things like the Smithsonian and areas of where tourists go, so it can become a you know, system that works inside and out of buildings in Washington, D.C. Because as you're right, Barbara, as you say, it is not GPS, particularly when you walk into the metro system. You're not using Wi-Fi GPS, you're using their internal mapping system, and that's pretty impressive.
Now think about this, Patrick. You will be, when you go to Singapore, you're going to be able, once you know the way map, you're going to be able to go to Singapore and find your way around. Isn't that beautiful?
Sometimes I can't even find my way out of a paper bag, so I'll take that. Yes. That's good.
All right, let me know.
Yes, will do. All right. Anybody else who was at the reception have any comments,
Patrick,
thoughts?
And this is Anu. Sarah Rod just raised her hand. Sarah, go
okay.
Ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Sarah. I'm not sure I have anything new to add. I would just echo everything that you all just said, that I was disappointed that there wasn't some sort of a demo, and I think it would definitely be helpful, because I know I downloaded it onto my phone at the beginning, and I had some trouble just even figuring out how to set it up and never got it running, and it's really disappointing that if it doesn't work on the buses, because honestly, that's one of the places where I feel most uncomfortable and would really love to have the help. So anyway, but I think Sandy's got a good point that maybe we ought to give him some time before we bring him back and grill him.
Okay. Well, because Tino promised us that we would have Prince George's County bus routes all running and all that stuff. And then we're going to move over to, where was it, Fairfax after that, Tino?
Yeah. No. Much better than Prince George's. One thing at a time.
Right. One thing at a time. Then we'll work with Waymap after that. Quite a work plan we're giving you, Tina. Jeez.
Smart. Yeah.
All right. Good. Go ahead, Tina.
The minute?
I was just going to jump to reports. Go ahead, Tina. Bus rail first.
The bus rail minutes dealt with the Maryland law regarding bus obstructions and monitoring the bus stop zones. The second was dealt with Prince George's, an update. And the third was the post-budget hearing discussion. As a matter of fact, the hearing discussion was testimonies that were sent online. The deadline was just as we had our meeting. One thing that wasn't formally on our agenda, but that came up, especially with Sandy and Steve and I during part of the meeting and afterwards, was the use of smart trip cards. There has been a lot of talk about being able to use your phone and just tap in to the bus or to Metro with your phone. And some of us are kind of leery of having to use our phone to do that. and so we said we preferred to be able to use a smart trip. And Sarah Myers assured me that the smart trip will not go away, even once they activate the phone system. So that was the minutes, and that was also a sidebar on the fact that smart trip cards will not go away. That's right. It.
Okay, good. Any questions for Tino? All right, Tino, you left Paul with about 7 minutes. That's pretty generous.
Well,
take it for you.
Paul has his report.
Yes, there you go, Paul. You're up.
All right, Metro I-6 subcommittee report. As we have heard this evening and going into our meeting on St. Patrick's Day, so we talked about last time, we got some Metro Access service updates from Mr. Blake in terms of they are vigorously trying to, they're not where they are needing to be yet with, you know, on-time performance in terms of that, but they are striving to work in a positive direction, as we heard from tonight, and they are working in a very positive direction with that to beef that up. We do are very happy to have Abilities Ride because it's helped with some of that on-time performance and not get to bring it up a little bit better at the wonderful, you know, work that Mr. Blake and his team has been doing, and we hope to keep all of that. As we speak about Abilities Ride, we did talk about some things with Uber. We talked about the possible looming FTA rule and how does that affect the Abilities Ride providers. For most of them, it does not. The only exception is with Uber, and Mr. Blake gave the committee some, you know, suggestions and things that we can do to advocate for to keep hopefully all parts of Abilities Ride together to help with that on-time performance of Metro Access. As we heard from tonight, we also, with the Metro Access of next generation fleet, we did go out to see it, and we'll be reporting our feedback at the next meeting. And we've invited, of course, Jordan to come to our meeting next on the 17th, hopefully, to kind of delve more deeply into some of the statistics, particularly customer satisfaction or dissatisfaction with dispatch, as we, you know, do want to have, you know, customers to be able to call into a call center where their needs are fully met in a timely, respectful manner. And we want to, you know, get a good idea as to why there's still a higher level of dissatisfaction with that particular, dispatch. And we talked about reservations are, you know, definitely still on a very positive trend. We want to maintain that in the call times and things like that and other statistics. So that is it for my report. Did I miss anything?
Any questions for Paul? Only got a couple of minutes here.
How about the vans, the new vans?
He mentioned the...
going to have a full discussion of what our feel is and our thoughts. We did go visit the vans last week with the demo there at Transdev. I don't want to go too deep into it because, you know, that's going to be a big portion of our meeting next time to have that discussion.
Do you have pictures of the vans?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yep. Great. Thank you, Paul. And I know I would just say one thing. I don't know how we do this, but I'm sure the committee would agree.
Patrick.
Go ahead.
On the 13th, for everyone, try to make time in your schedule for that Metro Access call center tour, because we are now granted the opportunity to come there from 11 to 12 on the 13th. Every committee member, please try to pencil in if you're available to come and do that tour from 11 to 12. Check your email from Anu. I'm definitely going to try to make it because we're definitely giving feedback at the next meeting.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Good. And I knew I was just going to say, it would be great to be, I don't know who Jordan's boss is, but that department has just been great coming here and briefing us. Anything that we can do to give kudos to their professionalism. And then they also come back to our subcommittee meetings, whether it's bus and rail. They really do a great job. It would be great if we could send them or Jordan's boss kudos on the professionalism of that group.
I would be happy to forward your comment.
That'd be great. Kudos can never hurt. Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, just a reminder that the ASL interpreters have a hard stop at 7:30, and we have one.
Right, and so you have a closing remarks.
Sure. So actually, I did say that, but any members of the public are looking to make a comment, you can email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100.
Great. All right, committee. I think we're at time.
Yeah,
we have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. I don't hear any objections. Thank you, everybody, for a great meeting.
Yeah.
Just one comment. Isn't there something on the 6th?
Yes.
Okay.